in shed waters, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hands,
ancient words in heart,
ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you.
Somebody very soon, I have in my heart that a cup is about to be filled and the miracle will happen. That just came to my heart when we were singing, praise God. See, God can speak anyhow, even over dinner, you know, even preaching over food. God can speak encouragement. God can speak healing. God can speak a miracle. And so whenever you are before God, just open up your heart and be ready to receive. Amen. You don't need a special service before a miracle will happen. Praise God. You don't need a special service before a change will come. Praise God. So that's for somebody, you just receive it. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 16:23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask. And ye shall receive that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name. So you underline this in the Bible and in your Bible. And that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you because ye love me, and I believe that I came out from God. Amen. Praise God. And so I rounded up last week by making us to see that over the week I saw the status of a member of this church and I was upset, you know, so I don't want to say more so that you won't get. I was upset because the person was, he got to his office and was praying, and I said, for God should do something for her, for Jesus' sake, And I said, look, we just started teaching on that how to pray. And somebody is still saying, I asked for Jesus' sake. You know, I felt upset. And the person is not here. The person doesn't come to Bible study. I said, why will you not be praying for do something for me for Jesus' sake? They understand that. Now, you don't pray for Jesus' sake. I think I said that to us last week or 2 weeks ago. You pray in Jesus' name. When you are praying for Jesus' sake, you know, say, bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Is it Christ that is going to heal the food? Do you understand that? So when you pray in somebody's sake, you are begging for that person. You know, when you say, Lord, buy me a new phone for Christ's sake, like Jesus is going to use the phone. Do you understand that? There's no place in the Bible, you know, in some Orthodox kind of church that pray like that, you know, that they do in Jesus' sake. Some, they pray, you know, in the holy name of Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus. There's no place in the Bible where God has asked us to pray as such. The way he's asked us to pray here is petition the Father through me. And so, petitioning the Father through him means that you pray in his name. That's the way the Bible has given it to us. And he said, you pray in my name. And make us to see that last week. You know, and let's see Hebrews. So I push on from where I stopped last week. And then tonight, I hope I begin to talk to us on 7 steps to answered prayer. So what are the 7 steps you take, you know, so that you have answers to prayer? It is a guide. You know, so it is not kishogun. You understand that? You know, it's a guide, you know, to praying. So it is not juju to pray. So before somebody runs, you know, I said, Pastor has given us juju to answer prayer, but it's a guide, and if you follow it actually, you will surely have results. And I'm sure about that. So I want to read from Hebrews chapter 7. I mentioned this, but I rushed through it last week. Hebrews chapter 7, 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Please put up that fan for me, stoning my Bible. Apologies to the people that are enjoying it, but it's giving me a lot of distraction. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wherefore, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Jesus. So that by him is by Jesus. Seeing Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for those that come to God by him. And I said to us last week, you remember when I was running this up, I said the ministry of Jesus, you know, we know Jesus, you know, seated at the right hand of God now. We know that from the book of Ephesians, you know, Romans. So he's seated at the right hand of God. So what God, what Jesus is doing, the present day ministry of Jesus, you know, is intercession. That's what Jesus will be doing until the second coming. The present day ministry of Jesus is to intercede for the saints. It is to pray for the saints, you know, or to carry the petition of the saints to the Father. That's what he's doing. So he's begging the Father on my behalf. Jesus is begging the Father on your behalf. So that is the present day ministry of Jesus. So if somebody wants to ask you, what is he doing in heaven now? Be sure that he's interceding for you and I. And why is he doing that? Because the Bible says that he is the mediator, you know, of the new covenant. I want us to read another place in the Bible very quickly. Verse 22. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. In other words, just go 3 verses. But by so much was Jesus made a surety. Now, underline that in your Bible. By so much was Jesus made a surety. Now, who is a surety? A surety is the person, you know, that I carry. I need to get money, say, from Comfort, for example. And Comfort looks at me and he weighs me. I say, I need 2 million naira. And he looks at me and say, you give me your salary voucher. And he sees that my salary is just, you know, 20,000 per month. And he say, okay, can you give me something else? And I say, okay, I have a land, you know, in Afghanistan. And I give her the papers. And he sees that this land does not worth more than another 200,000. So he put everything, sum up everything about me. And he said that, look, there's no way I can give you, I can loan you, you know, 2 million naira. your house and your road, Iliatonare, does not do beyond say 500,000. She now says, but I want to help you. You are actually in a distress. You are actually in a problem. He said, can you do something? Can you get a surety? Somebody that if you did not pay the money, you know I can hold responsible. Can somebody come in and sign on your behalf? Can somebody say, I want to take the responsibility? Hold me in his stead. Do you understand that? Debit my account, you know, in his stead in case something, you know, goes wrong. So I now go. I said, okay, I have a short that is going to stand in between. And when I bring in a shorty, he will not just go ahead and give the money. He wants to value, you know, my shorty. He wants to check the bank account. And he sees the bank account. And the bank manager says, this shorty actually has 40 million naira, you know, in his account, has 100 million, you know, bond, do you understand, in his account, and he has properties, you know, in Banana, you know, Highland. What will she do? She will close her eyes, do you understand that, you know, to issue the check, not to the man, but to me, praise God. That's what God is saying about Jesus. He said he is the surety, you know, of the new covenant. So, God is not doing something for me because of me. Remember I said that last week? God is doing something for me because of my surety. Ordinarily, I cannot carry it. I don't have the local standing. I'm not worthy. Praise God. You know, the Bible says all our righteousness is like a filthy rag. On what basis do I want to go to God? On what basis do I want to prove to God that I'm worthy? On what basis do I want to prove to God, you know, that I can stand before him? Praise the Lord. But I can do something. I have a surety that God knows what is in his account. And so the moment I go to God with the surety, God knows that he's credit worthy. God knows that he can chest any problem that I'm going to go through. And so God will bless me because of Jesus Christ. So like I said to us last week, prayers are answered, not because of you. You are the beneficiary of answered prayers because the Bible says, so that your joy will be full. Yes, you are the beneficiary, but he hasn't answered the prayer because of you. I said to us again last week, and we are rounded up, and I want to start. I said, Jesus is the go-between. You know, the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the righteous. He is the go-between. And the Bible says, Hebrews 3:1, he is the high priest of our calling. Praise the Lord. He is the priest. The priest is the go-between. You know, between, you know, the people and God. And Jesus, he is the high priest. He is the high priest that make sacrifice once and for all. The earthly priest, they make sacrifices all the time. But Jesus made sacrifice once and for all. After Jesus, there's no sacrifice that will be made again. After Jesus, there's no sacrifice that can be made again. You know, so he is the high priest of our profession. And I say, look at your Bible. You see that New King James Version puts it, the high priest of our confession. English Standard Version puts it, the high priest of our confession. KJV original translation put it, high priest of our profession. And I said to us that they exchange the words because those two words came from the same root. Homologi. They came from the same root. So, if they came from the same root, so it is understandable why you can use profession as confession. And I went to us, you know, I had last week to say to us, You can again conclude, therefore, if you can use confession as profession, you can therefore say that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. The high priest of our confession means that a priest carries sacrifice, isn't it? So, if he's the high priest of our confession. So, what Jesus does is this. When I make confession, he's the one that carries it. His own profession, because he ever lived to make. Do you understand? Whatever you ever live to do is your work, isn't it? So, the work of Jesus presently is to carry my confession, you know, to the Father. Praise God. So, it takes from me, you know, I demonstrated that last week. It takes from me my confession, you know, and it turns to the Father. And so, therefore, prayer is an engagement between the Son and the Father, carrying my own confession. Praise God. So let me put in another way that prayer is a deal between the Son and the Father. What the Son is doing before the Father is to remind the Father of the sacrifice that was made and of the blood that was shed. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is the mediator. You are not. I am not. Jesus is the mediator. He's the go-between. He's the one that broke, you know, the new covenant to come to be. And so, when I make my confession, it turns to the Father. And so, answering that prayer, listening to me again, I'm proving to you from several points and angles that answering the prayer is no longer about me. Because you see, Jesus has taken the confession. And God even is not looking at me, you know, because I'm behind. That's why I use Tola, you know, I think it's Tola, or who are you? You come again, come very quickly. Now, I've just carried a confession. I've carried the confession before God. So, this is Jesus, you know, here, and God is not looking at her. You know, you can't see her now. I blocked her. So Jesus actually had blocked you when he going before the Father. And that is why the accuser of the brethren, the devil, will not have his way. Praise God. Because whatever that the devil is saying, God is saying about Tola, for example, you know, I'm Jesus. You know that God is not seeing anything that the devil is saying. Because I've covered actually her. Do you understand that? I'm interceding. So whatever the devil is saying, you know, he said she's a cheat, you know. Then she doesn't come to church. She's not paying her tithe. Do you understand? Be paying your tithe, so, you know, she's not paying her tithe. You know what Jesus is saying? Listen. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession. So, if Jesus is saying, yes, what the devil is saying is right, Father. Yes, she had actually committed that sin. Yes, she had actually broken the law. But you see, Jesus will be saying to God, can you see the blood? Through the blood, those things that the devil, you know, he's saying, I've been remitted. Did you get that? And so see, you know, the broken body. You know, because the devil is saying that she must be sick. You know, affliction must come because she's broken the law. And Jesus will say, you see that my body has been broken. He said, by the broken body, you know, she has been healed. So in other words, Jesus will not be disputing what the devil is saying about you, because that's the profession of the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren. But you know, Jesus will be talking to God based on the blood that was shed and the body that was broken. You know, The interaction between God and Jesus is about the blood that was shed and the body that was broken. It's not about you. It's not about you haven't done your hair. It's not about you haven't taken your bath. Do you understand that? You see, when Jesus is done with that, Jesus will talk to you about the area of your life that you need to change. Hello, somebody. That is the engagement between you, Christ, and God. If you understood that, you understand prayer. If you got that, you understand prayer. You see, most of the time, we think that prayer is between you and God. And that's why we need to shout. You know, we have this impression that when I'm praying to God that is... So, you need to shout. You need to poop on the body, you know, so that God, you know, will be able to hear you. You know, some pastor will say, as if God is deaf and dumb, call his name 10 times and call blood 3 times, you know, and then round it up with Baba. You know, and when you are doing all the gymnastics, the pastor, oh, lagun, oguaye, rek, oguaye, si, lagun. Do you understand that? Now, that is, you think that prayer is about you and God. But one of the things you must get tonight is prayer is never about you and God. Prayer is about God and Jesus Christ. It will only be between you and God if you did not go to God through Jesus Christ. Come on, put your hands together for us. I want you to get that. That is the basis. Before I talk about steps, get that logic about prayer. And you find out, therefore, that prayer is sweet. Because, you know, I had my shorty. You know that when I get that money, I will go and cross my leg and spend it. You know why? If anything went wrong, there's a short. So, he is ever making intercession for us. He is our high priest. He is our short. Praise God. He's giving comfort and empty check. If anything should go wrong, you are giving 2 million naira. You see, my account, I have 40 million naira. If you took 2 million from 40 million naira, I can't even shake. Do you understand that? So, I can give a blank check of 2 million. I can say, what is the interest rate? If this guy will default for 2 years, calculate it, I can't even shake. Takas ba fair shake, money lend banana island. You don't get that. There's land in Banana Island. Do you understand? There are mansions everywhere. I have mansions, you know, even in UK. In one of my mansions, he lived when he went and just came back. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. That's what God will be saying about you. Nothing to worry about. Don't shake. Except, listen to me, you refuse to go to God through Jesus Christ. Please sit. Let me get you to see another thing. In that same scripture. See what the Bible says. And I will read some other scriptures, you know, to confirm that. Let's go back to our text. John 16. John chapter 16. And I want to highlight another aspect, you know, as I read me, myself, you know, all the time, I continue to underline. John 16, and you need to see this. And in that day, verse 23, ye shall ask me, in your Bible, underline shall. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Underline will. He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Underline shall, that your joy may be full. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Let's see Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. So what the Bible says again, Matthew 7, 7. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given you, on the line shall, and ye shall find, on the line shall, knock, and it shall be opened, on the line shall. Once again, Mark chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, okay. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall, so you can underline shall, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall, underline, shall have them. Praise God. Let me make 2 points here. Very critical in prayer. Now, this is where we lose out. Do you know the Bible says you follow them who through faith and patience? Do you remember the Bible says that? Follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Can I say this to you first of all? That faith worketh with patience. You need a lot of patience when you are doing the work of faith. I don't need to talk much about that. You remember Father Abraham. Praise God. When you remember Father Abraham, then I've proven that. You need to follow them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. Through the two legs, they enter into their inheritance. See, one thing about prayer is this, number one. You see, all the places I said on the line shall. Shall is a very strong auxiliary verb. Do you understand? I still remember English. I know some of you forgetting English. Shall is a strong auxiliary verb, which means certainty. Wherever you see shall, it means that that thing will happen, isn't it? You forgot in English. It's English I'm talking now. Shall means it is certain that it will happen. That's the first thing. So when you pray in Jesus' name, it shall happen. Shall means a future. Did you get that? It will surely happen. That shall. It shall happen means it might happen in the future. So it surely will happen. You will see the manifestation. So let me join the two together. When you pray, see what the Bible says in Mark 11, verse 24. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. So, when you go to God in prayer, believe that that thing you ask for, you have them. So, therefore, answer to prayer. So you get this? Answers to prayer is first done in the spirit before there's a manifestation. From this scripture. I'm not saying something outside the scripture. I'm just teaching the scriptures. When you pray, or let me put it in another way. A believer is a spiritual being. You are not a physical being. So everything that you see in your life has happened to you in the spirit. Because you operate from there, you are not operating from here. But the mistake we make as Christians is we see ourselves as human. So we subject ourselves to cosmos. Cosmos is the system of this world. So we subject ourselves to cosmos. We subject ourselves to change in the economy factor. We subject ourselves to what they are selling the naira now. We subject ourselves to, you know, what the food is saying in Bodija market. So we forget that we are living here, but we are not operating from here. Did you get that? We are living here, but we are not operating from here. So the problem we run to is we see ourselves living here and operating here. That's where we lose. So we are spiritual beings. We are not operating from here. So therefore, everything about us begins from the spirit. Is done in the spirit. And you thank God for it in the spirit. Do you understand that? Because that's who you are. Praise God. That's why God was reenacting the philosophy of a believer. When he said, we call things that are not as though they are. Did you get that? Things that are not, we speak about them as though they were. Because in actual fact, they were. You've forgotten that. First Peter, all things that pertains to life and godliness has been given you. So, they were. So I want to speak it. Do you understand that? To be. So, Christians, you control the physical from the spiritual. You don't get that? That's the same thing God did. When he created the world was without form. So, he controlled the spiritual. And he turned it to what actually he wants to see. The same philosophy applies in prayer. He said, when you pray, believe that you have it. Look back into your Bible. That's why it's good to bring Bible to church. 11, he said, when you pray, believe that you receive them. What did you see after them? Eh? Eh? What is after them? Eh? Eh? Any Bible giddy? What is after them? Somebody was going to say it. What is after them? Comma! It's not you shall have them. That she received them. Comma! It's comma that is after them. So, what he's saying is this. Listen. I'm teaching you something. What he's saying is you receive them. In other words, that is a complete phrase. Can I shock you again? Look into your Bible. See the way them is written. And see the way other sentences were written. Did you see it? That them is written in italics. It's written in italics because in the original translation is not there. They put it there so that the English can make sense. So the way is, you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. That's the way it is. Believe that you receive. So when I pray, and I pray in the name of Jesus, you know he said that, verily, verily, that you haven't, it's out to you, you haven't prayed. When you pray in my name, you shall have whatsoever. Praise God. whatsoever. It's not you will have something small. Whatsoever. Ask for the head of a lion. Whatsoever. Ask for the seat of the president. Whatsoever. What we guide your whatsoever is what I begin to talk about, you know, very soon. Whatsoever. And ye shall have it. So he said, the moment you pray, believe. So the moment you pray and you believe is done. Praise God. The moment you pray and you believe, it is done. Physical manifestation does not confirm the answer prayer. I hope I'm not saying too much to you. Physical manifestation does not confirm an answer prayer. Believing confirms an answer prayer. The Bible says about Abraham, Romans chapter 4, he said he believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. At that time, there was no child. At that time, there was no pregnancy. So when he believed, when you believe, what settles it in your heart is the confidence that you have. So when you wake up in the place of prayer, believing, what shows that you have answers to your prayer is the joy that comes, number one, is the peace that follows. And so when you're trusting God and you haven't gotten rest, praise God, you haven't gotten rest, then you got to stay praying. It's not that you haven't gotten the thing. When you have rest in your heart, when you have joy concerning that thing in your heart, you know that when they first appeared to Sarah, I said, you're going to have a child. What is it? You know, sometimes when God's word comes your way, you know, you do like that. You might not smile, but you say, can it be me? You know, that's what that prophet said. And God said to him, don't worry. Like some of us, you not talk until that your wife delivers. So one way or the other, God's word comes to you, you doubt it. You know, God's word comes to you, you push it aside. He said, that cannot be me. That looks so impossible. How would that happen? So it's not going to be me. But that's not what God requires from you. When you pray, you know, and God's word come your way, believe. When you believe, what shows that you have it is the peace that follows. And then you can begin to thank God for it. Rejoicing. Gladness in your heart. Not because you see anything physical. It's just because you prayed and God's word has promised me that thing. And so I'm going to have it. So, the Bible says, you see that comma, and ye shall have them. So, God again is saying something to you. Between the time you got up from your knees and a physical manifestation, there's a timing. So, shall assures you that you will have it. And at the same time, shall is saying to you that it will take some time. But definitely you have it. We lose battle, therefore, between the time you get up from your knees and the physical manifestation. You know what we do? Why you don't see the physical manifestation? We negate it again. We negate it. You begin to say things contrary. You begin to say things awkward. And say, I don't think about you, Carlo. A test of his integrity and trust in God. What is missing in the youth of nowadays, lack of integrity. So, you know, sometimes, some people, their day to become rich is very close. They understand that. But 1 week, local to one fidolowo, only 1 week, yeah, one lost your go. Did you get what I'm saying to you? You know, so they will have the money. They're actually going to have the money. But because they lack patience, they've gone to do juju money. They've gone to do yahoo money. They've gone to carry cocaine. So they will think it's the juju money that make them, you know, to be rich. But actually, they shall be rich. They shall have the money. But because they couldn't stay between the time of affliction and the manifestation, they did something stupid. And so when the devil answers your prayer, in quote, the devil will ask for commission. Did you get my point tonight? There's always a time between. You shall have it, it's sure. But shall is future. So where you set to answer to prayer, when somebody says, has God answered your prayer? And you said, yes. He said, I know you are trusting God for a new car. Has God answered the prayer and said, yes. Oh, say, let's go and see the new car. Mm-mm. The car is on his way. So he said, what gives you the guarantee? So, the first point to answer prayers, the first step. So, I just mentioned it will be going now. Be specific about your request and have a word for it. Be specific about the request and have God's word for that request. So, I will round up and I will start from there next week. I'm going to round up, therefore, by saying that when I say to Brafemi that God has answered my prayer, I'm saying that to you not because there's a physical manifestation, but I'm saying that to you because there's a promise in the word of God that assures me of answer to that prayer. My last statement for tonight, because I feel like preaching more and teaching some more, but I want you to go. My last point for tonight is this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's where faith begins. The moment I know that this is God's will, that's where my faith begins. So, the moment I know that it's the will of God for me to have a child, I have it. What makes me to know that I have a child? God's word has said, none shall be barren in the land. That settles it. Do you have my twins? Not yet. Do you have my triplets? Not yet. But I have a child. Because none shall be barren in the land. I believe that and I shall. Can you rise to your feet? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So don't miss this series. You need it. So I will now begin to talk more about this first step, the seven of them. So make sure you come to church. Praise God.